Romans chapter number 7, Romans chapter number 7. If you found your place, let's stand as we give respect to the reading of the Word of God, Romans chapter number 7. We'll look at verses 14 through verse number 25. This verse is not only oftentimes a tongue twister, it's also a brain cramper. So we're going to read it slowly so we can think through properly, amen? Romans 7. Verses 14 through verse number 25, then we'll have a season of prayer. The Bible says, beginning in Romans 7, verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that, when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." As we go to God in a word of prayer this morning, I want us to think on this thought: the divided man, the divided man. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow our heart and our knee before you this morning, Father, I do pray as we look very carefully at this passage of Scripture here in Romans chapter number 7, as Paul autobiographically, Father, expresses some truths about himself, Father, that there's no doubt that these truths could be expressed in the lives of everybody that's gathered here this morning. Oh, Father, I pray as we take a good, hard look at ourselves, oh, Father, that we would learn some truths of Paul, Father. Not that we might be condemned, Father, but we might understand that we can have victory even in the midst of trials and tribulations that come our way. Oh, Father, I pray if there be someone here this morning that don't know Christ as their Savior, that this might be the morning, Father, that they might be saved. Father, maybe there's a war going on between their flesh and their spirit. Oh, Father, they know that they need to be saved, but the flesh is saying, "Don't do that. Don't do that. Why are you going to do that?" Oh, Father, I pray that the Spirit of God would win out today, Father, and the flesh would be put aside, and they would repent of their sin and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for the other ministries going on at this time. We pray for the nursery and the junior churches, Father, that you would bless, be a help there. Meet every need, Father. We pray for those who are at work and can't be here, those traveling, those away, Father, and even those, Father, that have chosen to stay home for no good reason today, Father. We pray for them as well. So, Lord, minister the hearts as only you can do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. This is one of the easiest passages in the Bible for me to identify with. It tells the absolute truth about the life of every believer. Some commentaries feel that the Apostle Paul is describing the life of a carnal Christian. And they say that he's telling us how a saved man who refuses to yield to the Holy Spirit of God in their lives lives their lives. But I don't really feel that this is a description of a carnal Christian. I like to look at this passage of Scripture here in Romans chapter 7 and verses 14 down through verse number 25 as a description of a maturing saint of God. It's the way of life for a child of God. And it's described with no punches pulled. It's described with no holds barred. And that's how life was for the Apostle Paul. And I believe this, that's how life is for most of us as well. And no doubt if we were to be honest with ourselves, we could say that we can identify with the Apostle Paul in these verses. And while Paul really is writing his own autobiographical sketch, he's also writing about my life and writing about your life as well. So let's look at these verses for the next few minutes as we meet together. And let's see ourselves and see how we are portrayed according to the Apostle Paul in these few verses. Notice first of all in verse 14 that Paul begins to state the facts. Notice what he says. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Paul had just stated in the previous verses, in verses 5 down through verse number 13, that there was a problem between himself and the law of God. We're not understanding it. We're simply saying this is what the Apostle Paul said about himself. And the problem, no doubt, was not with the law. There is no problem with God's word this morning. If you're here today and you say, I have a problem with the word of God, understand this. There's no problem with this. This book is without errors. This book is God-breathed. The problem doesn't lie in the book. It's either in your understanding of the book or it lies, no doubt, in your flesh as well. And reminds us that the law of God is spiritual by nature. And you know, the law is a good thing and it lays down rules for right living. David says that he loved the law of God. I wonder if you and I could say the same thing as we read God's word and heed God's word, that we love the law of God. The very fact that God's law originated with God is proof positive that God's laws are not bad. So when Paul says he has a problem, and the problem is between himself and the law of God, understand this, there's nothing wrong with the law of God. It is with Paul himself. So the law was spiritual, he says. But then notice something else in verse 14. He says that the flesh is sinful. And you say, Pastor Dave, I was born at night, but last night, anybody knows that our flesh is very, very sinful. That word carnal here in verse 14 actually means fleshly. And so while the law teaches man how to live a godly life, man's flesh is only interested in that which is sinful. And that's why Paul would say in verse 14, he said, but I am carnal, sold under sin. And what Paul is telling us here is simply that there's a part of him that is still under bondage to sin. The old nature is still alive and well, and there's a part of us that cannot sin. Our spirit has been redeemed and has forever been sealed from sin. We cannot sin in this part of our beings. But our flesh is wicked. And by the way, it's still wicked as it ever was. And it's still as mean as it ever was. And it's still the same old ungodly, worldly appetites that it always had. Our flesh is wicked. So the Apostle Paul said the law was spiritual. Thank God for that. He recognizes this fact that our flesh is wicked. Then notice in verses 15 down through verse number 20, we find not only does Paul states the facts, but then Paul goes on and he states his failures. You know, if you and I were writing this book of the Bible, we wouldn't write this part. We might write the first part where we state some facts, but we wouldn't list for all the world to see all of our failures. That's why we know this book is God-breathed. It was written by man. Man would have left out all the bad parts and just kept all the good parts. But this book is God-breathed. Notice in verses 15 through verse number 16, notice the contest. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. We see Paul's describing a struggle that exists between every believer as a contest. He says there's a contest going on inside of me. That word allow in verse number 15 literally means to know. So Paul was saying that he doesn't even know why he does what he does. He said, I want to live right. He says that he wants to say the right things. He wants to think the right things in his life. But before he knows what happened, he has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I think the simplest way for you and I to understand what the apostle saying here is that there is a part of him that supports the law. That's the new man. And who came to life on the road to Damascus when he received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. That's the new man. That's the part that wants to support the law. That's the one that wants to live right. That's the one that wanted to do the will of God. And he tries to do that with his innermost being. But at the same time, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, there's another part of me that desires for everything that the law rejects. Henceforth, the title of the message, The Divided Man. And you and I are no different. The part of us after we're saved and born again wants to do what's right. But then there's that old flesh, that old nature, that old sinful part of ourself that desires to do everything that the law rejects. And when God's saying something is good, the flesh turns around and says just the opposite. And when the law says something is bad, the flesh says that it's good. It's a contest between the old man and our new man, or the old nature and the new nature. I think Paul puts it best in Galatians 5 and verse 17 when he says this, "For the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to another, and ye cannot do the things that ye would." You see, Paul is writing here in Romans chapter number 7, setting the foundation about the contest in his life. And then later on, as he's writing to the Galatians about being free from the law, he's simply saying, listen, that old nature is still there. And I do the things that I don't want to do and don't do the things that I want to do. And he says, these things are in me and I cannot do the things that I really would desire to do. We have a contest. We usually have to have some contestants, don't we? Most of the time, you have a contest, you have to have some contestants. So in verse number 18 and verse number 19, Paul lays out the contestants for us. He says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." So we see that Paul tells us one more time that he is a divided man. And he wants to do what's right. And the other part of it wants to do what's wrong. He said, "I'm split between the middle. There's two men inside my body. They share one body. And they fight over everything. One against evil and one against good. And we fight about everything." Kind of like brothers and sisters fight about everything. Or two brothers, or maybe a husband and a wife. I hope that's not the case. But oftentimes it's that way. And so we find that he says there's one body and two people living inside me. And he finds that he is hindered when it comes to do the right thing. And he's helped when it comes to do the wrong thing. Let me just tell you this. It's easier for you to do wrong than it is to do right. Listen, you don't have to really think very hard to come up with some evil, sinful thing for our flesh to do. As a matter of fact, it floods your soul, it floods your mind if you're not careful about it. But listen, it's harder to think about doing the right things. It's harder to do what's right and live by the spiritual side of the law. I think that every one of us, listen, myself included, can identify with this. There's a part of us that wants to please God in everything that we do, in every area of our life, both in the natural realm and in the spiritual realm. But there is another part of us that wants to fight at every turn. I used to know a guy when I was in high school. He just loved to fight. I mean, he's one of those guys, his knuckles were like three times as big as me. He'd drag his knuckles on the ground just about, his arms were so long. And man, he didn't even have to really fight very hard or very long because he just stood back and with that big reach and those big knuckles and bam, he'd hit and knock you flat out. So nobody really fought with him as best as they could. But listen, he always wanted to fight. And he'd fight at the drop of the hat and he'd throw his hat down just to fight. Listen, that's the same way our flesh and our spirit are. They're at war with one another. And every part of us wants to please God. Another part of us wants to fight at every turn. I can attest to this fact that this can be a very frustrating way to live. Our flesh and our spirit are at war with one another. In Paul's failures, he states that there's a contest going on inside of him. He says there's a contestant in that contest, my spirit and my flesh. But notice the conclusion of the contest found in verse 17. He says, now then, it is no more that I do it, but sin dwelleth in me. Look down at verse number 20. Now I do that I would not. It is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So Paul says there's a contest, there's a contestant, and notice the conclusion of this contest. Twice in these verses, Paul tells us there's a problem with his old sin nature. Let me help you for just a moment. If you sit here in the pew this morning and say, Pastor Dave, I don't have a problem with my old sin nature, there's a reason for that, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But I'm telling you, if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you have a problem with your sin nature warring against the spiritual side. The good news is that it isn't the saved new Paul that is constantly doing evil against God. And it's the old Paul, the flesh, who still desires for evil that reigns in his body. You know, lest we come to the wrong conclusion this morning, Paul is not making an excuse for his sin. Paul's not saying, it's not my fault, it's my flesh. He's not saying that at all. He's not throwing up his hands to surrender and say, oh well, I'm not going to fight against my flesh any longer. If it feels good, I'm going to do it as the world said. Paul's not saying that. That isn't his attitude at all. As a matter of fact, he's saying that is complete opposite of what I'm speaking about. That's the attitude many Christians have today. The war begins to happen and there's a contest going on. The contestants make themselves known, the spirit and their flesh. And they come to the conclusion, they say, I'm tired of the struggle, I'm tired of the fight. I'm just going to give in to the will of my flesh. I'm just going to give in to those things that are not proper, those things that are not right. Let me help you. You'll never have victory if you give in to the flesh. Paul's statement in this verse is not one of resignation. In reality, when you look at it and study, you'll find out it's a statement of victory. And he's telling us that there's a new man living inside of his body, and that new man is above the old sinful lifestyle. And that new man loves the Lord, and that new man is going to fight until the day that he's delivered from this body of sin, either by death and an immediate entrance into heaven or by the rapture of the local New Testament church. He said, either way, he said, I'm going to fight to the end. Not only does Paul state the facts, not only does he give his failures, but then notice something else in verses 21 through verse number 23. Paul states the findings. Notice his companion in verse 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And Paul's discovery is that every time he tries to do God's will, he said evil is there. Man, can you identify with that? Every time that you want to do right, think about doing right, it seems like evil or your flesh is there waiting for you to succumb to it. Every good word, every good deed, every good thought, every good motive, every good thing is constantly and consistently being challenged by the devil, his demons, and our carnal fleshly nature giving in to the world as we know it today. And any good thing that we're able to do is always a result of a battle. Every good thing that you do is always a result of this battle that's going on inside of your life. Isn't it true that when we would do good, that there's always a temptation to do evil? You know, think about it this way, that you want to do what's right, and there's an angel on this side saying, do what's right, do what's right. On the other shoulder is the devil saying, don't do that, don't do that. Give in, give in. Now, you know, that's just made up, and that's not really true. But really, our spiritual man and our fleshly man, that's the way they argue with us sometimes. It's hard to keep our motives pure. It's difficult to control the thought process so that God wins out. But no matter how difficult it is, we still can do it if we allow ourselves to fight to the very end. The only people who do not struggle with their sinful nature. And here's the answer to the question I asked earlier. Are those people who are lost in their sin? Those who say, I don't have a problem with the flesh, Pastor. I don't have any problem with the flesh. And that is because you're still lost in your sin. They're following the course of nature according to Ephesians 2, verses 1 through verse number 3. And the Bible said, and you hath he quickened, or in other words, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And so it's no wonder if you could say here today, well, Pastor Dave, I'm not bothered by my fleshly nature. Nothing about my flesh bothers me. Listen, if you're not a saved, born-again child of God, guess what? You will not be bothered by it because you're of the children of wrath, even as others. You're fulfilling the desires of your flesh and of your mind. Paul says there's a war going on. There's some contestants going on. When a person tries to go against the grain of the flesh, and when you try to go against the grain of the world, there will always, let me repeat that, there will always be a struggle. Sin is a constant, wicked companion that lives inside of us. So sin is a companion. But notice in verse 22, notice his confession. He says, for I delight in the law of God after the inner man. Now, Paul lets us in on a big secret here concerning himself. He says, I love the law. Whatever God has said in his word is a delight to the Apostle Paul. You know what? Whatever God said in his word ought to be a delight to us. Now, at first, when we read it, we might not like it, but as we meditate upon, as we think about it, as we apply the truth to our life, guess what? All of God's words ought to become a delight to us. And the new man inside the Apostle Paul said, I love the word. You know, if you love the word, you'll read the word of God, amen. You'll meditate upon it. You'll pray over it. You'll ask God to speak to your heart every time you walk through those doors as you come in to the house of God. The trouble is, we say we love the word, but yet we never read the word. The word's not important to us, and I find that contrary to God's word. God's word said if you love the law, you're going to read the law. It's going to be an important part of your life. Let me ask you, how important is the word of God in your life? Well, we find that this ought to be true of every saved person, that they love the law. If you're saved by the grace of God, and you're saved and you're blood bought and born again, you ought to love His Word. And when the Lord reveals His will to you through His Word, you're delighted and you want to do it, guess what? With all of your heart, just not partial obedience, but full obedience and compliance to the will of God for your life. If you see that in your life, you can crack a smile and say, well, praise God. That's a good sign in my life that I really love the law. If a person hears the word of God and hates the thought of doing things God's way, they get offended by the law of God, you know what that probably tells me? Number one, that they're probably not saved. But then number two, if they are saved, they're definitely in a backslidden condition and they allow the world, the flesh, and the devil to control their thought process, because there should not be any Christian that even when something comes up that we don't like, we shouldn't reject it and stay away from it. We should meditate upon it and ask God to help us in the understanding of that matter for our lives. But when the Word of God is our delight and it's the standard for our living, that's a good sign that we are dealing with a saved individual and the Holy Spirit is speaking to our heart. Well, we find there's a companion in verse 21, a confession in verse 22. Notice in verse 23, we find something else. Notice the captivity. But when I see another law in my members, wearing against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. You know, although Paul had a heart that was set to do the will of God, and no doubt we have that same heart as well, I like to believe that everyone here has a heart that's set to do the will of God. Paul goes on to say there's another part of himself that fights him at every turn, and he tries, according to the Bible, to bring him into captivity. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 26 and verse 41, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." You see, even Jesus Christ understood what the Apostle Paul was speaking about. There's a side that says, yes, I want to pray. Yes, I don't want to fall in temptation. My spirit is willing, but the carnal, sinful flesh is not willing, and it's weak. This is the situation in which all of us can identify with. The inner man wants God. Our spirit wants God. The fleshly man wants things of the world. Thankfully, there was nothing wrong with Paul's salvation, and there's nothing wrong with your salvation. Even though Paul struggled with his flesh, he wasn't lost. He was still right with God in the middle of a contest. And he came to the conclusion that Paul's problem was that the flesh is always trying to bring him under bondage. It's always trying to take him back to where God has brought him from. And that's the problem that you and I face every day. We find that the flesh and the world and the devil want to bring us back to a place of bondage. But we have been set free because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And if we're not diligent with our struggles in our flesh, we're going to be defeated by sin, and we're going to end up on the ash heap of sin and be ineffective for the cause of Jesus Christ. If we don't take our stand against flesh, flesh will win against you. Paul fought the flesh in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 25 through verse number 27. He said, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so fight, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth in the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away." Listen, if the Apostle Paul had a fight in his flesh, so could you and I. He goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 12 and 13. Listen, this thing was so important to the Apostle Paul about the spirit side of man and the fleshly side of man that over and over again it keeps repeating himself, keeps adding to it, helping us to understand about this war. And he says in that book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient." He said, everything's available to me, but everything's not for my best. "All things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meat for the belly and belly for the meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." So basically, we can boil it down to this. Even though that we are saved by grace, even though we have trusted in Christ shed blood for us on the cross of Calvary, even though that salvation is forever once we place our faith in Christ, we must fight sin every moment of our lives. It's a battle that is never, ever, ever, ever going to end. Well, notice that the Apostle Paul, he states the facts. And then he's honest with himself and he states his failures. And then he gives his findings concerning this warfare going on. But then notice in verses 24 and verse 25, notice that Paul states his faith. Notice Paul's problem in verse 24. "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Paul is here expressing his desire to be free from his decaying fleshly nature. In other words, he's simply saying this. He says, "Oh God," he says, "I just want to be free." And if I'm honest with you this morning, I think that Paul perhaps was frustrated, maybe even defeated by his own inability to overcome evil, because Paul simply just wanted to be free. And then Paul calls himself these words, "A wretched man." Oh, wretched man that I am. I think most of us here today would look at the life of the Apostle Paul and we would never, ever describe Paul in this way. Perhaps one of the greatest New Testament church planters ever there was. And yet he says, oh, the wretched man that I am. You know, if we would look at our own self compared to the Apostle Paul's life, we could very easily say, oh, wretched man that I am. But not when we look at the Apostle Paul's life. But he looked at his life from the way that God looked at his life. And he said, oh, the wretched man that I am. And I believe that as a Christian matures in the Lord and learns more about God from the Word of God, a person becomes more aware of just how wicked and wretched we really are. Even Paul, in all the righteousness that he had in Jesus Christ, said, oh, wretched man that I am. Notice the prospect in the first part of verse 25. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God. Notice in that first part of verse 25, we find that Paul tells us where his victory comes from. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he's reminding his readers there as he writes it as early New Testament Christians, as he writes and pens it down through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God for you and I this morning. He writes and he's saying this. He's saying that God gives us the victory. And he said that we can be delivered from our wretched bodies one day, and the Lord comes back for his own. We'll leave this flesh behind, and we'll leave the world behind, and he'll have ultimate victory. But there's another meaning here. I believe the Apostle Paul is praising the Lord for the victory that he has right now. Right in the middle of this contest, right in the middle of this battle, even though we fail and we fall into sin, even though we come short of the glory of God so often, there are times that we still, in the battle, grow in the Lord. Even in the middle of my very, very worst day, Jesus is still working on the clay. He's still molding me. He's still making me. He's still making me into his wonderful image. That is the victory that the Apostle Paul is speaking about here in verse 25. And then notice Paul's proposal in verse 25. Notice he says, so then why? Because I thank God through Christ Jesus Christ our Lord. He said, because of that, he says, notice this proposal, and we find, he says, so then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. This verse is not a declaration of Paul's defeat. Paul's not saying here, oh man, I do have one good side and I have one bad side. He's not giving up or resigning himself to be a failure or a failure for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not saying that he wants to do is right in his heart and he keeps doing what's wrong with his body. He's not saying that at all. He's not even saying that because he already has covered that in previous verses. So the Apostle Paul is saying this, that I am not going to give up fighting. I am not going to quit. And even though the battle was raging deep inside me between the flesh and the spirit, I am going to keep battling for Jesus Christ. Let me ask you these questions, then we'll be done. Have you seen yourself in any of these verses? When I looked at these tongue twister of a verses and a brain cramper of a verses, I began to see myself in these verses, some good and some bad. And I have to admit it, that I have the same struggle in my life that the Apostle Paul wrote about. No doubt you have the same struggles, the flesh against the spirit. But you know what? In that, I, as well as the Apostle Paul, I am encouraged. I'm encouraged because of verse 25 says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the challenge is simply this. Examine your life this morning. Examine your life right now and just see how well you are fighting this fight. Maybe you've given in too easy. Maybe the flesh rears up and you say, what's the use? I can't beat this. I've been addicted to this for all these years. I can never win. And you just give up too easy. Maybe you're allowing the flesh to gain the upper hand without a fight. Maybe you're so far gone that you don't even fight anymore. You just succumb right to it. You know, if the flesh tries to make inroads into your life and my life, let's determine that they'll not do it. The flesh will not do it unless him and I get into a fight. That's the only inroads he's going to get. You see, the Apostle Paul, although he didn't use these words, he was a divided man. He was divided between the law, which is spiritual, and he's divided between the flesh that is sinful. And in the midst of that great contest, Paul could take courage, knowing that God was working in and through him, and his victory came from Jesus Christ, his Lord. And if Paul saw that victory, you too as well could have that same victory if you truly desire it. Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, on a very sometimes difficult passage to read and also to understand. But God, I'm so thankful you give us a clear understanding of this passage this morning. That there's a contest and some contestants and there's a conclusion. And Father, I pray for your believers that are here this morning, those who have trusted Christ as their Savior. Your children, Father, I pray for them. Help them to understand and don't be so quick, Father, to give in to the flesh.